We begin the current daf in Masechet Chagiga, daf Tezayin. We begin on the bottom of daf Tezvav Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues and resumes the discussion that I introduced on daf Yedalad, where the Gemara had said regarding four that went into the Pardes, which is this type of mystical place where they went into this Pardes, where some interpretations say Pardes is Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid, four different mystical interpretations of the Torah. So it says that others had consequences which were negative. But the final one, the fourth one, says, Rabbi Kiva, Allah b'shalom, b'yard b'shalom. He went up in peace, and he came down in peace, and nothing happened to him. But Lava Kazavayim, regarding him, the Pasuk says, in Shir HaShirim, Mashcheini, draw me after, Acharecha Nerutzu, after you, we will run. And that is, he had this completeness in his pursuit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Gemara does tell us, V'af Rabbi Kiva, b'kshu malach yishras l'dachva. Even Rabbi Kiva, who he was the one that went out as whole as he came in, the ministering angels wanted to push him away. Amar Kadosh Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Hanichu l'zaken zeh, leave this elder alone. Shiro l'shtamash b'chvaydi, he is fit to utilize my honor. And that's the experience of the paradise. So the Gemara continues on the top of Tezayim and Alef and asks, my darsh. Now what did Rabbi Kiva expound? How did he know to understand where is the place of the divine presence to be careful not to look over there? As we saw that the others had stumbled because of they looked at where the Makom HaShechinah was, where they shouldn't have been. Or that he didn't make the same error that like Acher made, who was Kaitz ben Atiyas, and he was Yatzal Tar B'Sra. Sigmar says, Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says, it was based on the Pasuk in Devar. The Pasuk there says, Va'asa Meriv Veis Kaidish, that he comes from the holy myriads. Now, he interpreted the Pasuk that the word Asa is Aishu. It's a sign that Birvavashalai, that Hashem is in his myriads, in other words, he knew not to look where the myriads are, and because that's what he understood, that that's where the Shekhinah is, and that's how he was able to prevent himself from stumbling like the others. Birbavo, I mean, he says a different passing in Shia Hashim that says, Dagul Mirvava, which literally means to say that goes around from the myriads, but the word Dagul, he learns Dugmuhu, that it's a sample, Birvavashalai. In his myriads, in other words, like a sampling is when something that's recognizable, that's there to show, like, I want you to make something like this for me. You give him a swatch and you say, make it like this, but it's just a sign to show you that this is reflecting on the larger piece. So too, here when he sees the Revavo and he sees the myriads, he understands that that's a dogma, again from the word dogul, the dalet gimel, it's a dogma, and that means to say that Hashem is there, and that's again how he was able to know not to look. He brings a pasuk in Yeshaya. Again, all three interpretations are bringing the same idea that Hashem Tzavakir Shemai, Hashem of hosts is his name, which means to say that the name Hashem is Adainhu, he is the master. Where is he? Where is the divine presence? B'tzvashalai, in his host. And again, they knew that where there's the myriads is to stay away. And he brings a fourth pasuk, Malachim Aleph, that says that he knew it from a different pasuk. Lo beruach Hashem. Hashem is not in the wind that comes. V'achar ruach rash, now after the wind comes a storm. Lo berash Hashem, Hashem is not in the storm. V'achar rash esh, and after the storm is fire. Lo be'esh Hashem, Hashem is not in the fire either. V'achar esh kol demam medaka, but after the fire is this thin, silent sound. V'hin Hashem ayver, and then Hashem is passing. And he knew, based on those signs of that pasuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, not in the fire, not in other things, but in the kol demam medaka, that thin, silent sound. And that's how he knew that that's where Hashem would be, and therefore that he was able to prevent himself from looking at that, and that's why he was able to be Eilu L'Shalom and be Yared L'Shalom. Now the Gemara continues regarding this topic about Achir HaParget, which was mentioned that Acher had heard, as we mentioned in the previous staff, that there's no hope for me because I heard from behind the wall that the what will be, everyone could return besides Acher. So related to this, we learn Torah and learn the Braisa. Shisha Dvarim Nemar B'Shedim. There are six things that were said regarding Shedim, which are loosely translated as demons, but these are things that are somewhere between, as the Gemara says, Shleishik HaMalach HaSharas. They have three characteristics like ministering angels. V'Shleishik V'Niyadman, yet they have three characteristics like a human being. As the Gemara explains, Shleishik HaMalach HaSharas, the three elements that are like a ministering angels, Yeshlem K'nafayim HaMalach HaSharas. They have wings like the ministering angels. Second of all, they fly from one end of the world to the other, like the ministering angels. And third of all, they know what the future will bring, like ministering angels. So the Gemara says, do they really know destiny of the world? Do they know what the future will be? El Rav, the Gemara says what it means is shemin me'achoya pargetim lachshav. They hear from behind the wall, like ministering angels, when things are going to happen. There are announcements that are made in this heavenly domain, which is behind the wall. And just like Malach HaSharis are privy to that, so to the Sheidimar, but not that they really know the future, what would ultimately be, but just from what they hear, Me'acharya Parged. And again, that's related to the Gemara that was mentioned in the previous daf, that regarding Acher, who heard when they went up there, Me'acharya Parged, everyone could do tshuva besides Acher. Now, B'shleshik and the Adam, they have three characteristics like human beings, which are Eichel M'shleshik and the Adam. They eat and drink like humans. Pardon Ravink and the Adam, they have procreation, they have children like people, and umasing bin Adam, and they die like human beings. Now the Gemara segues into Shisha Dvaram Nema bin Adam. There are six things that are said regarding a human being. Also, some type of a morph of Shleish Kamalach Asharas, three things like ministering angels, and Shleish Behema, and yet a human being has three characteristics like an animal. And as the Gemara explains, Shleish Kamalach Asharas, the three things like ministering angels are, first of all, Yeshlam Das Kamalach Asharas, which no other animal has. They have understanding like ministering angels. Second of all, Mahalchen Bakumas Kufa Kamalach HaSharis. They go with an upright posture like the ministering angels, which no other animal has that either. And third of all, Masabim Lashon HaKodesh Kamalach HaSharis. They speak in the holy tongue in Lashon HaKodesh like the ministering angels beyond the capacity of the animal kingdom. Now, Shleish Kibahema, they have three characteristics like animals, where Eichel Mishayis and Kibahema, they eat and drink like animals. Upon Rav and Kibahema, they procreate like animals, and Umaitzin Re Kibahema, they also excrement like animals. Again, that's the halfway that men are like angels, and yet on the other hand, they have three like that are like animals. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, called Mastakal Badal Vam, whoever contemplates, who looks at these things with a strong look, and these Badal Vam, these four things, Rasul Ishlebalam, Bahulu, it would have been better had he not been created. So the Gemara asked regarding these four, which is what's above, what's below, what's in front, and what's behind. So the Gemara asked, Bishlema mala 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 mata mala ocher l'chaya. I understand why you shouldn't look what's above, what's below the world, what is beyond the world, what's going to be. Because these are things that we don't have the capacity to understand. We don't know what the future could be, what's beyond that. And we don't know what's above or below our limits of this world that we're in. But Elefanim, but what was before, Madahavahava, what was, what's so wrong about knowing or thinking about what was before the world? These are things that had been there. Of course, what's beyond us, we cannot know, but we can contemplate what was once. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Lazar, and Tavai, they both said, Moshel Melech Basav Adam. This can be compared to an analogy of a flesh and blood king. Shama Levadav that said to his servants, Benuli Palterin Gedoyal Nal Ashba, build me this beautiful, huge palace on this rubbish heap, on this trash pile. Halchuvanuloy, they went and they built it over there. Now, Ingrid Tzaynishel Melech, Lahaskir Shem Ashba, he doesn't want that people should be speaking about, you remember what this was? This was a big heap of garbage once before. Because this is a palace, this is something which is a beautiful thing. He doesn't want his edifice to be remembered that it was on this big mass of garbage. And therefore, essentially, that's the metaphor for this world where Hashem had to first make a halal, emptiness of godliness. And that's how he was able to make and create the area of the world itself, which then is godliness, is this beautiful palace. And therefore, what was before, he doesn't want to be recalled. It's almost like this analogy of the palace on top of the garbage heap. Now, the Mishnah also said that whoever is not concerned about the honor of his creator, it's better had he not been created. So, however, the Mishnah doesn't say exactly what does that mean, not being concerned about his creator's honor. So you might ask, Mahi, what is that? So a few interpretations. Rababam, he says, Zeh mastakel b'keshes. It's a reference to somebody that looks at a rainbow. Rabbi Yisabam, he says, Zeh ho'iva aver b'seser. This refers to somebody that violates a sin in secrecy. So the Gemara explains these two interpretations. Mastakel b'keshes d'chsev, somebody that looks at a rainbow, like it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, Kamari ha'keshes, like the vision of a rainbow that will be in the clouds on the rainy day, so too is the vision of the light that's around. That is the vision of the form of the honor of Hashem. And therefore, essentially, that is, when one looks at the keshes, as the rainbow, that's something that has the element of the vision of the honor of Hashem, and therefore it's not befitting to be staring at something like that. Like we found with Rabbi Kiva on a different level regarding looking at the Shechina, it's not appropriate. V'yesev Amar, he says, Zeho Iba Aver B'seis. It's somebody that does an Aver in secrecy. Could you be Yitzchak? Dom Yitzchak, like Yitzchak said, Kolo Iba Aver B'seis, whoever violates an Aver in secrecy. Kilo Deichel Gregel Yishchen, it's like he's pushing away the feet of the Divine Presence. Shemaika says a Pasuk in Yeshaya, says, Koya Marashtrim, so Hashem says, Hashmaim Kisi, the heavens are my throne, V'aretz Adom Ragli, and the earth is my footstool. Now, if somebody goes ahead and says the Shekhinah is not here because he's hiding from everybody else, but he's not concerned about anybody else, he's obviously making the exclamation that there's no divine presence here, because it was, how can you do a sin? And therefore, that contradicts V'aretz Adom Ragli, and that's why it's considered like you're Deichig Ragli Hashekhinah. And that's someone that's considered that he's not having honor he's not concerned about the honor of his creator. Now, the Gemara asks on this, Ini, is it really so that it's such a bad thing, a person that's sinning in privacy, that nobody else should see, and that as if he's not concerned about the Shekhinah that there is? But V'am Rebbe Lo Hazakin, the elder said, if someone sees that his inclination is overpowering him, he can't fight this inclination. So Yelech L'Malkim Sheim HaKirinah, he should go to a place where nobody recognizes him. Now, as Rashi explains, because then he won't feel so proud of himself, because usually in a person's element, he feels more secure. So maybe by going to this place, he won't feel as strong, and then it would diminish the power of his inclination. Moreover, V'yilbish Shcharin, wear black clothing. V'yis'atav Shcharin, and cloak himself in black clothing. Again, all these things are there to diminish the internal power of the inclination. V'yasamash libechavetz, and then he could do whatever his heart desires. And then, because even if he's going to be sinning, Rashi says that no one's going to pay attention to him, since then he's not a dignified person. They don't know who he is, unless he's wearing black and he looks like some vagrant. And therefore, let him do what he's got to do. And that he shouldn't desecrate the name of God out in the open. So if you got to do it, you have no way of trying to do things behaviorally that will come to diminish it. And also try to limit the amount of chil Hashem that's going to be. But you see that it's preferable a person do it b'seser. So how are we saying that this is the worst thing? He shouldn't have been born because he's not concerned about the honor of his creator. So it's like, it's not a contradiction. Ha, the matzi kaif leli yitzri. When we said that it's such a bad thing, is that somebody could have, he was strong enough to overpower his inclination. But he was confident that, I'm in private, nobody's seeing what I'm doing. That's Deichi Ragli Hashchin. That means to say that you're not reckoning with the fact that there's divine presence here. That's not being concerned with the honor of your creator. The one that we said that it's better that you hide yourself and not do it out in the public was when you're feeling that it's beyond your limit of what you can do and you cannot overpower your inclination, then you're doing that for that reason. That is something that's preferable in contrast to doing it out in the open. But again, it's only because if you feel like you cannot. But if you're doing it in the way of disregard, that's ro'oloi shalei b'lo'ilam. Now the Gemara continues in the similar discussion that we spoke about looking at the keshes, looking at the rainbow. So Darsh Behuda Reb Nachmeni, mitugumani de Rish Lakish, he was the interpreter of Rish Lakish. And that is, they used to have, for the one that was lecturing, had an interpreter, and they would generally tell me the Chacham Moso. So this interpreter said the following idea. Whoever looks at these three things, ain of kehos, so his eyes get dimmed. They are bekeshes, the rainbow. Again, not a good thing to look at. Ubenasi, and in a leader. Ubekahanim, and in the kahanim. As he explains, bekeshes, the chsiv, why does one's eyes get dimmed when they looks at a rainbow? As we said before, kemari hakeshes, ashiyah ba'anon, b'yam ha-geshem, like the vision of the rainbow, when they'll be in the clouds on a rainy day, who married the mus, kevod Hashem, that's the vision of the form of the honor of Hashem, and therefore if one looks at the Shekhinah, again, it can have a negative effect on a person because it's not worthy of being mistakel on the kevod Hashem. B'nasu dechsev, by a leader of the Jewish people, like it says in the Pasuk Bamidbar, v'nasat mohayit chalav, that you will place from your splendor on him, which means say that there is a marriage of a Shekhinah on the leader of the Jewish people, and therefore if you look at it, it's too powerful, and therefore it dims one's eyes. And hamastakel b'kahanim, someone that looks at kahanim, it means bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, at the time when the Beis Hamikdash was still around, shoyim d'mal duchanim, that they would be standing on the platform, and then they would say Birchas Kayanim. They would bless the Jewish people with Hashem's holy name. Then the Shekhinah would be resting, as Rashi says, on the knuckles of their fingers. And then if one looks at those hands when they're blessing the rich people, that diminishes a person's eyes, again, because of the Shechina that's resting over there. Another interpretation from Darsh of Yehudah Ben Nachmeni, who was Meturgamani Rish Lakish, he says, what does it mean this pasuk of Micha that says, Al Taminu Vireya, do not believe, place your faith in a friend who tells you to sin. Al Tiftuchu Ba'alef, don't be confident in the leader, where the pasuk there ends, Mishechebes Chekecha, from the one that dwells, that rests in your lap, Shemoy Pischei Picha, watch the opening of your mouth. So what is this a reference to? So he expounds this follows. He says, if the evil condition tells you, don't worry, sin, God is good, He'll forgive you. Al tamen, don't believe Him. And that's what, and the Girsa takes out the next word, shenem al tamen bereya, because ve'ein reya eli yitzahara. Who is this, quote, friend you got? It's the evil inclination. Shemlek says a pasuk in Bereishis, the same root, Reish Ayin, ki yitzah levo adam ra, because the inclination of the heart of man is bad. So the pasuk saying, al taminu bera, don't believe the yitzahara, that don't worry, Hashem will forgive you. And when it says that, al tivtuchu ba'alef, don't be confident that Hashem will forgive you, because ve'ein aleph, where it says, al tivtuchu ba'alef, ela kadosh baruch hu, that's a reference to Hashem. Shemlek says the pasuk, aluf nu'urai ata, that you are, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says that you are the master of my youth. So you see that God is called Aluf, and therefore don't believe him. Now, Shema Taimar me made be, who's going to say testimony about me? Who knows what I did? I was there in private. So you have to, and even if God knows, but the judge needs to have witnesses. So that the Gemara answers, Avnei Beisai v'Kuris Beisai Shaladim He Meidin Bai. The bricks of the person's house, the beams of the person's house, they will say testimony regarding what you have done. Shemek says, Pazan Chavakuk, Ki Even Mikir Tizak, because the stone will scream out from the wall. The Chafis, and this piece of wood, Me'eitz, from the wood that one has in one's house, Yanena will testify. So don't worry, there will be those elements that will be there to testify about what you have done. They say something else will say testimony. A person's own soul will say testimony regarding his sins. Shem, like that pasuk ends in Micha, from that which rests in your lap, you should watch your mouth, what is it that rests in the person's lap? What's inside of the person? That's the person's neshama. Be careful from your neshama, because your neshama will say testimony regarding the sins you have done. A third interpretation from Zerikom, he says, there's two ministering angels that are always escorting a person. They will sell testimony regarding what he has done. Shemlek says the pasuk in Tehillim, Ki malach avid savalach, because he has commanded his angels for you, l'shmorach b'chol derechecha, to safeguard you in all your ways. That means there's these angels, and be careful, because whatever sins you do, they will say testimony. And the Gir says, V'yesh aymrim, a fourth interpretation, Eivarv shel adam me'idin bay, a person's own limbs will say testimony regarding him. Shlomo says the pasuk in Yeshayim, mi'atem, which is plural, edai nu'um Hashem, meaning all the limbs, you are my witnesses, says Hashem, vanikel, and I am the God, meaning that a person himself will say testimony about himself regarding all the sins that he did, saying that person's own evarim will say the testimony. So therefore a person shouldn't be confident in saying, well, okay, Hashem will forgive, Hashem will not just look away. And say, who's going to say testimony? A person's own neshama, a person's own limbs, these other elements that are there will say testimony on the person. And that concludes this, the discussion from the first Mishnah, which went off on this different topic of the more mystical subjects. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, which resumes the discussion of the beginning of what we had been speaking about in this Mesechta of Chagiga, of the Karbanis that are brought on Yosef, on Yom Tiv. So the Mishnah opens up, and the Gir says, Yosef ben Yoezer Eimer, Shalai Lismech. Yezmeyaz has said that when a person brings a carbon on Yom Tiv, so then the person should not do smicha, which is halacha. When you bring a carbon, you have to lean on it and do smicha. Now, Rashi tells us that this was the first machlokes that ever was in the sages of the Jewish people. Up until then, everyone knew the Messiah from Har Sinai, what is halacha. This was the first one, and it continued through many generations as the Mishnah delineates. So Yosef ben Yezer, he said not to do smicha on a carbon that's brought on Yom Tov. And Yosef ben Yochanan, and his disputant, his colleague, argued and said, no, you do smicha. Yeshu ben Parachioim. And again, as Rashi says, this is generation after generation. There's partners. One says yes, one says no. Next generation, one says yes, one says no. So Yeshu ben Parachioim, he says, Shalolis mechnat to do smicha. And his colleague, Nitin Arbeli, Amalis mech says yes to smicha. Yehud ben Taba Oimer Shalolis mech. Next generation, not to do smicha. Shemesh Adachem says, Lismech, yes, you do smicha. Shmaya Oimer Lismech says, do smicha. Abtanim, Shalolis mech, not to do smicha. Now, the next generation, Hillel Menachem lo nechlku, they didn't argue about what the halacha was. However, Yotze Menachem went out and left, which we'll explain exactly where did he go. Then Nechnasham, Shammai came and took over his place as the Av Bezdin, as the leader of the Bezdin. And then there was a machlokes, Shammai Meshalei Lismich, says not to do smicha. And Hillel Emer Lismich says yes to do smicha. Continue on to Amud Beis, with the Mishnah, now concludes by categorizing and telling us that regarding all these peers that kept on arguing generation after generation, Harishainim, the first ones in all these peers, which are called Zugas that we had been mentioning, that then these were the leaders of the generation which were arguing if to do smicha or not, Hayinasiim. The first ones we were mentioning were the leaders of the Jewish people, which is called the Nasi. Vishnim Lehem, and the second one of the peers were, in the Gir says, Avis Bezdin, they were the leaders of the Bezdin. So there's two different types of leaders. There's the head of the Bezdin, and then there's also the Nasi, which have two different roles in Klal Yisrael, but they're leaders in different elements. And they were the Machlegis through every generation, Nasi, Abezdin, Nasi, Abezdin, regarding do we do smicha or do we not do smicha. Now, turn around and the Braisa, regarding this machlekes, that shleisha mizugis rishonim sha'amru shlei lismich, the three that were first mentioned not to do smicha, then mishnai mizugis achreinim, then two of the last pairs, we went through five different generations, sha'amru lismich, they said to do smicha, hayu nasiim, they were the nasiim, bishnim lam avas bezin, and the second one, meaning the other one of that pair, were the avas bezin divrei meir. So essentially what he's saying is that although the first ones we were mentioning were the Nasiim, however, from the first three, they said the Nasi, his opinion of the Nasi was not to do smicha. Now, the two generations after those three generations, then those leaders who were Nasiim said yes to do smicha. And the other opinions were the ones of the Av Bezdin. So it wasn't that the Nasiim always said one similar opinion. The first three generations of Nasiim said one opinion. Then the second two generations said the other opinion. And again, the disputant was the Av Bezdin, who then also switched to the other side too. Now, that's the opinion of Remeir, which is like the opinion recorded in our Mishnah. But the Chachamim, they argue regarding one element. They say that Yehuda ben Tabai was not like the way it's recorded in our Mishnah, the way we just brought down for a mayor, that he was the Nasi, but rather he was the Av Bezdin. Vishim ben Shetach Nasi, and Shim ben Shetach was the Nasi. So the Gemara says, based on this machlekes, who can we illustrate is the Tana of the following Braisa, where the Braisa says, Am Yehuda ben Tabai. Yehuda ben Tabai says, E'ere ben Nechama, I will see in the constellation, which means to say, meaning I had done something good, Im lo harakti eid zaymim, if I had not killed an Eid Zaymim, which is Eid Zaymim is when there's someone that says testimony regarding something that someone allegedly did, and then two other Eidim come and say regarding those witnesses, how can you have said testimony regarding what that person did? Not that you're lying, you weren't even there, you were with us then. You couldn't have said that. So those Eidim now get punished for what they had pretend what they had been attempted to do to that person, that's considered an Eid Zaymim. So what this situation actually was that the halacha actually requires Eid Zaymim that both of those Eidim should be refuted in that context of Hazama, which means to say that you weren't even there, how could you have said that? But in this case, actually only one of the witnesses that happened to, where they said, we don't know about you, but at least you, one of the two, you had been with us, you couldn't have said the testimony, and that makes him Eid Zaymim. So Yehuda ben Tabai said that I killed him because he wasn't even there. And the reason why I killed him was lahitzi min liben shel tzedukim, to come to exclude. We find many times Chazal come to do things specifically to remove from the opinions of who the tzedukim were, because they, tzedukim, didn't believe in Teresh Baal Peh, and they judge by just what's written in the written law. And therefore, we do things certain times, which are according to halacha, just to come to refute what their opinion is. Because Shehayu, I mean, their opinion was, an Eid Zaymim, let's say, said testimony regarding someone that he has to get the death penalty. And it was a lie, a fabrication. He wasn't there and he got the zamam in the sense of where someone came and said that and pointed out and showed that he couldn't have been there. So they say that the Eidzam doesn't get killed until the defendant who they wanted to prosecute, until he gets murdered. If he wasn't killed yet in Bezdin, and then the Hazama happens, then he doesn't get killed. So the reason is because they interpreted the Pasuk literally. It says Nefesh b'Nefesh, which it says regarding Eidim Zoyman, which means that, look, a soul for a soul. If he got killed in Bezdin, and then Hazama happened, then he gets killed. But if not, not. Nacham said the Tzedukim, but already says Kasha Zamim Lasala Achim, that he had attempted to do it his brother, which means that he didn't do it yet. But if it was done, actually there is no Hazam. If he was already killed, and then Edom come and say, how could you have said you weren't there? He's not killed. Now the Chacham said, so why is he Nefesh b'Nefesh, a life for a life? That's not that if he gets killed, but it means to say that the Edom will not get killed until there was at least a Gemar Din. That means to say that then he's like a dead man in the halachic sense, because the Gemar Din is over. Then it's Nefesh b'Nefesh, then we'll kill him if Hazama happens. But if it was literally killed, then we don't actually do it, because then it's not anymore Zamam Laslachov that he attempted, because it was actually that he did it. So anyways, that was the circumstance of the story of the incident. So he says, and we know the halacha is not like that, Yehuda Metabe said, that it's even if the defendant wasn't killed yet, wasn't prosecuted, but at least Hagemar didn't happen. So there was this one Eid Zaymim, and therefore I went and I killed him. So Shem Ben Shadach said to Yehuda Metabe, he says, I will see the consolation that you had done incorrectly if you didn't spill innocent blood. Because the sages said, we do not prosecute the Edom Zayman, these false witnesses who were then disproved in the way of saying that you weren't there. They cannot be killed until both of them, not one of the two witnesses, you have to have both of them having Hazama done to them. Similarly, Ve'in Loikin, if let's say they said testimony regarding someone that is liable for lashes, so they get the same punishment, they don't get lashes, Atshiyuz Mishneim, that Hazama happens to both of them. And similarly, Ve'in Mishalman Mammon, Atshiyuz Mishneim, they don't pay money, if let's say that's what the halachic court requirement that they wanted to do to that person, until Hazama happens to both of them. And as the Gemara learns in Masechtas Makas from Sukkim, because it says, Ve'hine Eid Sheker Ha'Eid, where they said false testimony, and the Gemara says over there, wherever it says the term aid, it means two, so you see there has to be both. And therefore, yes, you're correct in the sense that, not like that tzedukim, that the person has to be killed, and only then can you kill the Edom Zayman, as long as there was a Gemara Din, but you made a mistake, because there was only one, there has to be two witnesses. So the Gemara tells him, Miyad kibul of Yehuda ben Tabai, so right away Yehuda ben Tabai accepted upon himself, that he will never go ahead and paskin halacha unless it's in front of Shimon ben Shetach, who, if he makes a mistake, will teach him the right way, because he obviously saw that he's his superior and he made such a grievous error. So the Gemara says that kol yomav shel Yehuda ben Tabai, his whole life, he would prostrate himself, he would bow down, he would go ahead and beseech mercy by the grave of that person that he killed, which was, in a sense, halachically innocent. And they would hear his voice. Now, so the people thought, why are these sounds coming from the grave of that person that was killed? That it was it's the sound of the one who was murdered innocently. So he said to them, no, it's my voice, and I'm crying by his gravesite. And Tedu, you should know that it's me, because Shalamachu Umeis, tomorrow, meaning in the future, Yehuda Metabe, I will die, and then you won't hear the sound anymore, you'll know that it was really me crying by his grave. However, the Gemara asks on this and refutes his taina, because Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava l'Rav Ashi says, how do you know that when he dies and the sounds stop, that it was Yehuda ben Tabai sounds? B'dima piyusei paisei, maybe because when he dies and he goes to the next world, he could appease him. He's accessible because they're in the world of the souls. Or b'dina tabi, maybe then because he'll then bring him to judgment in the heavenly courts and he'll finally get his judgment by getting Yehuda ben Tabai to pay for what he had done. And maybe that's why his sounds would stop, and therefore it's not a definitely proof that it was Yehuda ben Tabai, but anyway, that was what Yehuda ben Tabai had said. Now, either way, the Gemara concludes the question. Maniha, so who's the Tana of this Braisa? Iyamet b'shlem Remeir, if you say that the Tana of this Braisa is Remeir, so it makes sense. The Amib Shim ben Shadach of Bezin, he said, as he was explaining our Mishnah, that Shim ben Shadach was the Av Bezin, and Yehuda ben Tabai was the Nasi. So the story makes sense because Now, he said that right, the time of the Brisa says that, oh, right after that incident that he made this grievous error, he accepted upon himself never to go ahead and paskin in front of Shimon ben Shatach. Now, what it sounds like is that up until now, that he did paskin. And that makes sense, because the Nasi has that authority to go ahead and paskin even though the Yabbez is dear. Eliyam Drabbanan, but it's like the opinion of Drabbanan in the Brisa that we quoted before. Da'amri Yehuda ben Tabi Av Bezdin. He says Yehuda ben Tabi was the Av Bezdin, and Shem Mishadach, he was the Nasi. So Av Bezdin mifnei Nasi mimer halacha? Could the Av Bezdin, although these are the two leaders, but the Nasi is superior to him, and we know one's not supposed to pass the halacha in front of someone that's greater than him, how could the story make sense that up until now, however, that he had paskin in front of Shem Mishadach? So Yehuda says, like, no, it's not a contradiction. It could even be like the Chacham. Because my kibul of the karma, what does it mean that he accepted upon himself from here on? It's not that up until now he did paskin in front of Shem ben Shatach. Most definitely he never paskined in front of Shem ben Shatach because you can't paskin in front of the Nasi. What happened was is that when he killed the Eid Zaymim, Shimon ben Shatach wasn't there. Now, so what was he accepting upon himself now? Was Lidz Terufe, to even join a Bezdin. That he said that Philitz Terufi Namelo Mitzterfin, he says that I'm not even going to join, to sit on a Bezdin, to have a Psak Halacha, only if Shem ben Shatach is there, because I need him to help me out. So of course, Befanav, he never did. We could say this even according to the Chachamim, that he was only the Av Bezdin, and he wouldn't have done it in front of the Nasi. What we are saying, what he did say, and he accepted upon himself, was not that he's going to not pass in front of him, but to the contrary, he will not sit on the bezin until Yashem Meshadach, who he saw, will be able to save him from making such a mistake in the future. So that again explains regarding that dispute in our Mishnah from the five peers, Shem Meshadach and Yehuda ben Tabai, there's a machlekes regarding which one was the Av Bezin and which one was the Nasi. As we said, those were the machlekes and throughout the generations that there was a Nasi in dispute of Av Bezin, which again, that they weren't uniform in their opinions, but the first three generations, according to Meir, the Nassim held one way, and then the last three generations, the Nassim held the other way. So the Mishnah told us, Yotza Menachem Nechne Shammai v'chulu, that Menachem and Hillel didn't argue, but Menachem went out, and Shammai came in. So the Gemara asks, Lehechen Yotza, where did he go out to? So Abaye Amri says, Yotza L'tar B'sra, he went out to bad ways, he went off from the Jewish path. Rav Amar, he says, Yotza L'avodas HaMelech, he went out to the service of the king. And Tanya Hach is similar in the Brisa, like that opinion. Yotza Menachem l'avodas hamelach. Menachem went out to the service of the king. V'yotzu imoi shmoinim zugis talmidim, and with him left 80 pairs of students. Levushin siroikin, that they wore this royal clothing. That means he went into some type of politics or some type of service of the king, and they went out with royal garb, these 80 students of his. Now related to the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the Amar of Shem Bar Abba, Amar B'yechnan. La'olam al tei shvus kala b'nachem. A rabbinic prohibition, which applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov, should not be taken lightly in your eyes. Shari smicha ein el mishum shavus. The whole iser of smicha, of leaning on the animal, is only a rabbinic injunction. And that is, as we learned in the Mishnah in Masechtas Bei, that says these are prohibited because of Yisur Rabbanan, not to climb on a tree, not to ride on an animal. And this is included in utilizing an animal when you lean on it with all your weight, as the Gemara will illustrate later. So that's just the Isra Rabbanan of riding in the animal because we're concerned that then you might come to break a branch. But be that as it may, it's only rabbinic Isser. V'nechel kubach g'day l'adres. And this was the big machlekes, the greatest ones of the generations had. The Nasi Nav Bezdin, like the Supreme Court, l'havdol of havdolis, having this discussion. So you see that it's just a shvus, but this was the biggest thing that they had the machlekes about. So don't take it lightly, even though it's just the Isra Rabbanan. So the Gemara's Peshitta, I mean, exactly what is Rabbi Yechanan teaching? We obviously know. We saw the Mishnah. We see that was their machlekes. What is he telling us that we would have thought otherwise? So the Gemara explains, Shvus mitzvah is tuchalei. No, that even though it's a mitzvah of doing smicha, and it's still Isra Drabbanan, it's just, you know, pay attention. Be aware that that's how severe even the Isra Drabbanan is, even though it's in the service of a mitzvah. So the Gemara still has Hanami Pshita. That's still obvious, because that's what our Mishnah is telling us, the case of Shvus Mitzvah. Why did Rabbi Yechanan come to say, pay attention, notice? I mean, we see that in the case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, Lafugi Mando Amar. He was coming to exclude from an opinion in Masechtas Bei and Afchof Manal that tells us that Bismicha Gufa Pligi. There is an interpretation that says that they're not arguing regarding doing an Isidra Bonon on Yom Tov. actually, that opinion holds that the one who says it's prohibited to do smicha is not because of that it's the isdra bana of utilizing an animal. It's because that opinion holds that a shalmei chayva, an obligatory shlamim, which is what the chagigi is that's brought on yamtiv, does not require smicha. And that's because when it says v'samach, it's written in the context of a shalmei nedava. That's a donated shlamim. And that we do not learn out the halachas of a shalmei chayva from a shalmei nedava. And therefore, you would have said that you wouldn't see the severity of a shvus, because you would say they're not arguing regarding a shvus. It's just that if you do have to do it, then of course you do it. And if you don't have to, then you don't. But not because it's a shvus mitzvah. There's no mitzvah even to do smicha at all, because it's only by shalmei nedava. Kamash Milan, that's Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, though, that the reason is bishvus with the pligi. Their argument is regarding that smicha is a mitzvah. Everyone agrees that there is a halacha of leaning on the animal, even by shalmei chayva, because we learned it from shalmei nedava. The whole machlekes is regarding, can you do a rabbinic iser on yamtiv, that even if there's a mitzvah, there are opinions that say shalai lismach not to do smicha, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan is illustrating, because you could have interpreted the machlekes otherwise. So he's saying it's like that other opinion that the machlekes regarding shvus, and therefore pay attention, see how severe a shvus is, that the gedolei dor is, even though it was a mitzvah to do smicha, there are opinions that say not to do smicha on yamta because it's the isur rabbana of utilizing an animal. Now Amar Rabbi Chama says, Nashma mina, from this that Rabbi Yochanan established that the reasoning of the machlekes of the opinion not to do smicha is because of shvus, so you could infer from there that smicha must be that when one has to lean on kodshim, an animal that is bringing out as a sacrifice, b'chol koicha b'inan, that you have to use all your weight, and then it's considered like you're utilizing an animal. Because these sagadadik loy b'inan b'chol koicha, if you would entertain that you don't have to use all your weight, so my cover, what are you doing? Lismach then do smicha, what's wrong? The whole isdra abanan is when you are riding on an animal. Now, riding doesn't, now in the context of the halachic ramifications, it doesn't mean what is riding. Riding is when you're sitting on your bottom, is it when you're laying on it? So the halachic then requirements are that if you're using all your body weight on it, that's considered in that rabbinic injunction. So fine, if smicha requires all your body weight, so then we understand that it's included in that gzeir drabbanan. But if it's not, you just have to, like, you know, touch it, you know, so then do that. What's wrong? That's not considered being mishtamish b'bali chaim on Shabbos. Obviously, you see from there that you have to use b'chol koyche. Now, however, the Maaser, the Gemara, asks on this inference from the following brisa. The pasuk in Yikra that says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, you should speak to the Jewish people, where the pasuk there says, Odem mikiyakim mikem karban l'Hashem, a person from amongst you, if he's going to bring a sacrifice to Hashem. Now, it says over there in those pesukim is samach, that you should do smicha, you should lean on the animal. Now, the interpretation of the Tanakhama is B'nei Yisrael Samchan. It says Dabel B'nei Yisrael, meaning the sons of Israel should do smicha, but the B'nei Yisrael Samchan, but the daughters of Israel should not lean on the animal. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Yisiv Reb in the Gir says Shimon Oimrim, B'nei Yisrael Samchan Rishos. No, although they're not obligated, but the daughters of Israel are allowed to. They can voluntarily do smicha on the carbon. So Rabbi Yisi said, Sachli Abba Lazar. Abba Lazar once told me that Pamachas Hayilonu Egel Shel Zivchi Shlam. One time we had a calf that was a carbon shlam. We brought it to the women's courtyard on the Temple Mount. And women went and did smicha on it. Now, Lemnesh smicha b'nashim, not because there's a halacha of smicha by women. Just, you know, they want to be involved. They want to feel like they're really, you know, just a way to give them that pleasure. So therefore, we did it like that. That's the brisa. So we have Tanakhama says, no, they don't do it. And then we have opinions that they could do it. And then we have a story that says that we allowed them to do it. Now, the Gemara's question is, if it's like you just inferred from Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why it's a shvus drabbana to do smicha on yamtiv, because you have to use all your body weight. So now the Gemara asks on that last story that's brought in the brisa, mishum nachas ruach the noshim, so just to make it enjoyable for the women, avdin avayde b'kachim, we do an avayde, we do work with kachim. You're not allowed to do your own personal work to utilize a carbon. So how can we have women leaning on it, which is considered avayde, working them, when you're not allowed to do avayde unless it's a part of the mitzvah? But if the women don't have smicha, so how could they do smicha b'chol koich, which is avayde? Obviously, from there you could infer that you don't need to use all your body weight, and that's how they allowed women to do it. So that contradicts what we had inferred from Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, no. The truth is, like we had inferred from Yechon, and you need to use all your body weight. But the Amalahu, Akfu Yudaihu, they told the women, just, you know, put it lightly, your hands, over the animal, and that they consider like the smicha. And that's what they allowed the women to do. But you're right, to do full-fledged smicha, they couldn't have allowed it, because that's doing work with a carbon that you're not allowed to, because they don't have the mitzvah of smicha. So then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that's what they had them do, just to touch it lightly. So levim neshes smicha ben nashim. Then the Brisa shouldn't have said that it's not that there's smicha by women. Typically, dainel smicha klal. That, in other words, the way Rabbi Yossi said over the incident, he says, look, you know, the women did the smicha. Not that there's a halach of smicha. It's just we wanted to give them a nachas ruach. He shouldn't have said that. He should have said, but they didn't even do smicha. That's how we were allowed to do it. Not, it's not because nachas ruach that allowed us to do the smicha. They didn't do smicha because they just put their hands lightly on it. So Rabbi Ami answers, chod v'oid kama. What he was saying was that one and another. In other words, there's two reasons why we let them do it. Chod de les l'smicha kala. You're right. One reason was really because they didn't even do smicha, really. V'oid, and another reason he was saying was, because they lost his nachas ruach l'nashim, because we wanted to appease them, to let them do the smicha. That was an additional reason. But in the Chanami, they could have said that they didn't do smicha at all. But when he says limnish smicha benashim, was saying that even if it would have been, let's say, that they were doing smicha, it's not that there is smicha, but it's just because he wanted to give nachas ruach to the women. Now, another conclusion from this discussion, Amra Papa, he says, Shmamina, another thing that we could infer from Rabbi Yechanan that said the reason of this isser of doing smicha on Yom Tov is because of Issa d'Rabbanan of being mishtamish with a behema on Yom Tov, which is a rabbinic injunction, that stodun asurun must be that even sides are prohibited. And that is, although that regarding the Issa d'Rabbanan of the utilizing an animal, it was the way it was made, the Issa d'Rabbanan was riding on the animal, but as we said before, it includes all utilization of the animal. Now, more than that is that you could infer is that even where it's not normative in the utility of the animal, for example, the sides of an animal, in other words, the top of the animal is an area that's used. You ride on it, you lean on it, that's how you transport yourself or different things. But more than just the side, more than just the top, what you can infer is even the sides. And something would apply to, let's say, a tree. We were not allowed to use a tree. Even the sides of a tree, which this is actually a machlekes amayram, and Masechta Shabbos, and Kofen Dalem and Beis, that something that you're not allowed to utilize, is it just the main utility or even sides? So Rav Papa says you can infer that even sides are a problem. Because the Yisra G'daytach Tzad Mutarin, because if you were entertained that sides are permitted, the Isra Rabban was only riding, let's say, which is the top of the animal, well then Lismaich, and the Gersa is Arisha, then do smicha on the head of the animal, because the head of the animal has a halachic principle like the sides, because that's not an area that you usually use. When you have the utility that we said you're not allowed to use, is where it's generally the utility, which is on top of the back of the animal. But if it's Tzad not permitted, well then do smicha, which is on the head. You could infer that even sides are prohibited, and that will resolve that machleik is in my room in Masechta Shabbos. So I think more concludes that on top of Yedzayin and Aleph, Rav Asher Yemes says no. You could even say that sides are permitted. You're allowed to lean all your body weight on an animal on the side. However, called the Bahadi Gaba, anything that is on the top of the animal, which has the same height as the back of the animal, kigabodami, has the same halacha like the top of the animal, and the head is equal in height to the back of the animal, and that's why we consider it the top, which is the area of utility, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. So even though we would say that studen armutaren, which is the size of the animal, but that would still make it prohibited based on the Issa d'Rabbanan, the shvus of being mishtamish with an animal, not to do smicha even on the roish, because that's equal to the height of the back, so therefore we give it the same principles as the back itself, which is the issa of being mishtamish with a behema on Shabbos and Yom Tov.